The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of 55KRC, The Talk Station, and Clear Channel Worldwide.
Welcome to Ballistic Radio, Cincinnati's only gun talk show. Join us. We're going to explore the topic of firearms and your rights as a law-abiding citizen. Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Kyle's Gun Shop in Finneytown, your source for premium firearms and ammunition. Now here's your host, John Johnston, on 55KRZ, the talk station.
Good evening and welcome to Ballistic Radio, brought to you by Kyle's Gun Shop in Finneytown, your source for premium firearms and ammunition. This is Jim Beatty sitting in for your regular host, John Johnston, who's down in Memphis at Rangemaster taking Tom Gibbons' instructor development course. Hopefully just passed the course since it's ending as we speak. He'll be calling in a little bit later on the show to give us his results and tell us what he thought about the class. Andy Ulrich is in the hot seat for the evening. Andy, are you fired up for tonight's show?
I'm always fired up when we're talking about getting back that which has been taken away.
Ah, that indeed. The progress is always much slower than you and I would like. Tonight, we're going to be discussing several of the bills before the Ohio legislature that might impact your ability to legally carry a firearm in this fine state. We'll try to pack in as much as we can in the short time we have, and we'll also try to give you straight answers to your questions. Grab a sheet of paper and a pencil, and remember that you can always reach us at 513-749-5500 or at 800-823-8255 if you're out of the tri-state area. Also, be sure and check us out at ballisticradio.com and facebook.com/ballisticradio. All right, let's dive in. The big kahuna, the big bill in front of us, and it's been discussed on multiple internet forums and support boards, is House Bill 203. We're going to, right off the top, we're going to say that we support this bill.
Absolutely.
One of the key things in this bill, and we'll just go through it point by point, is reciprocity, automatic reciprocity with all other automatic reciprocity states. And what this means is that if another state out there has in their system of legal code that they automatically grant reciprocity to another state, if they allow a licensee from another state to carry without having to set up a specific agreement for it, well, Ohio's going to finally catch up with the rest of the nation and grant that same reciprocity in return. Key thing will be for folks in Indiana. We've always been able to carry in their fine state. Now they'll be able to carry on their license in ours, and that's a good thing. The other thing it provides some protection for is if we pick up an anti-gun attorney general who doesn't want to do the negotiation that he's supposed to do, this takes it out of his hands. And that's a sweet thing. Bullet point number two, the national instant check system will be used as a background check for future license issuance. This is a really cool thing because it makes the resulting license good for exempting you from a NICS check when you go to purchase a firearm from a dealer. Quite a few states have this. Ohio's never had it because we do a FBI check on folks who've only been in the state for a short time, we don't do it on everybody. I'm sure it'll add a little cost, and that'll be passed on to the folks who are going for the license, but the benefit will be great.
And I'm not sure if that will be retroactive to people who have a license already. I think it might be just people going forward, or you might get it on your next renewal.
I think that makes a lot of sense, yeah, because they won't have had the benefit of the FBI check at that point.
Right.
Another key point in the bill is that it removes the duty to retreat in self-defense situations as long as you have a right to be where you are. Now, what's the shorthand version of that, Andy?
That's stand your ground.
That it is indeed, and it's about time that we see it here in Ohio. That alone makes this bill worthy of passage. Another point, it further defines the felony limitations on license issuance. Now, that's a really big-worded way of saying it limits the number of misdemeanors with longer sentences that have been kind of put us out of the mainstream. We have a few misdemeanor charges and penalties here in Ohio that can stretch over a year, and that looks like a felony, but it's not. And this will put us in line with really the rest of the country in terms of what we consider worthy of licensing, what we consider not.
You mean Ohio is behind the times?
It's shocking. It is shocking, isn't it, Andy? I mean, it's just, who would have believed it? The bill also broadens the exemption, the exception for training requirements for former military. It's basically a blanket exception. You've been in the military, you're good. No additional training required. That's huge compared to today.
And I think it also incorporates spouses, too.
Oh, that'd be sweet. Yeah, yeah. Quicker licensing for folks that legal resident aliens, folks come over from Great Britain or whatever, and choose to settle in our fine state, instead of having to wait this extra period of time, that goes away. They face the same requirements that everyone else does. Tightens up language related to orders of protection. No longer just a blanket order of protection. It needs to be something specific to a spouse or a significant other. Basically, the same kind of requirements that would, determine whether you could own or possess a firearm at all. The way it is now, any order of protection, no matter how mundane, no matter how unlikely to be related to violence, is enough to block your application. And it's good to see that go away. The really big one, the one that is going to affect, and it's going to get some angry opposition from some of the folks in our field, is that the 12-hour training requirement is eliminated. Now, not all training is eliminated, but a specific 12-hour block is. And the way the bill is written today, or the way the proposed legislation is written, there is no replacement for that. It says the same items are listed, and they've actually added added one key point. Training now must include a specific explanation of places where carry isn't allowed. And we've seen a few folks stumble into that, especially folks that are recent visitors or recently moved in from other states.
Right, and it's quite vague. There's specifics, but there's a lot of interpretation there.
There is, and there's a lot of bad interpretation out on the internet and your usual sources of information. You can't count on them. So it's good that this is going to be included upfront in training. It's good that the specific 12-hour block goes away. Now, we at Ballistic Radio, you know we're for training. We love training. Training is an excellent thing. It improves your ability to survive in a situation. It really helps, it is the go-to way to go. But a requirement of a specific amount of time in order to exercise your rights, that is never something we're going to be behind.
Right. I'm sure that our legislators are not going to pull that requirement out and us lose a lot of reciprocity. We're going to have some training. It's going to have the ability to have training in order to get those reciprocity agreements.
Right. We're going to head to break now. When we come back, we'll be discussing House Bill 203 in greater detail and taking your phone calls. Right now, you're listening to Ballistic Radio on 55 KRC, the talk station.
Wealthy and wise. The Steve Perrin Coordinated Financial Planning Studios. This is 55 KRC, the talk station.
Welcome back to Ballistic Radio on 55 KRC, the talk station, brought to you by Kyle's Gun Shop in Finneytown. We're continuing our discussion of pending firearms legislation in the great state of Ohio, and we welcome your questions and input. Just a reminder, you can reach us at 513-749-5500 or at 800-823-8255 if you're out of the immediate area. Well, let's just reiterate right off the top, HB 203, we support it.
Thumbs up.
We want you to support it. Now, we've seen on the Buckeye Firearms and Ohioans for Concealed Carry forms, we've seen that some folks have some minor issues with the wording in some of the new sections in this bill. And that's only reasonable. I mean, when folks get in and they tear into the details of something like this, and it's such a comprehensive bill that there are going to be some minor gotchas that are in there. I want you to be reassured that representatives from both organizations, both Ohioans for Concealed Carry and Buckeye Firearms Association, are working with the sponsors to see that those issues are resolved to our satisfaction.
And there's a lot of eyes on these. Every time a bill comes out, there's always a lot of eyes on in both of these organizations. I think what people need to understand is they're carrying a firearm daily, and the laws that they're following daily are state laws. And those state laws are directly influenced by state gun rights groups. The NRA, they carry the national water, but when it comes to your day-to-day carry in Ohio, it's state rights groups like Ohioans for Concealed Carry and Buckeye Firearms Association. NRA is great. They support the state gun rights groups, but your lobbyists on the steps at the state house are these groups.
Right. They're not there. Our legislatures are not there to talk to the NRA.
No. They have some influence, but for the most part, it's your state gun rights groups. And I'll put up a link to everything we're talking about today. Actually, I already do on our Facebook page. There's a link there to the legislative wiki for Ohioans for Concealed Carry. Thank you guys for putting that up there. And also, there's a link up there to Ohioans for Concealed Carry's Party in the Park, which is August 11th, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Get a ticket to it. You get a chance to they're actually giving away some guns this year, an AR-15, a nice AR-15. And Kyle's put up a Glock 19 and 1,000 rounds of ammunition.
1,000 rounds of 9mm. I mean, if you can't even find that right now.
That is gold.
Yeah. So you got good food, you got good prizes, and you got good people. It's tough to beat an opportunity like that. I wanted to mention that HB 203 was introduced in June, and it's been assigned to the Policy and Legislative Oversight Committee. We just ask you to call your representative, maybe even call one of the co-sponsors. Ask your representative specifically to co-sponsor this legislation. The more people we have on that co-sponsor list, the better, the more likely it is to actually get voted out of committee and see a real hearing in the light of day.
And don't be apathetic. Your calls make a difference.
If you can't call, email, fax, get something on the record so that folks know what your opinion is. We're going to move on to House Bill 231, and this is a bill that makes significant changes in what we like to call CPZs, or criminal protection zones. These are the areas where the law says you cannot carry. And this bill is almost, in my mind, it's almost more significant than the big comprehensive one because it makes real day-to-day changes for those of us that are already carrying. One of the first things it does is it restores the affirmative defense for carrying a handgun without a license. Now, we always had this in the state of Ohio until they yanked it away in 2004 when they first passed HB 12, when we first got licensed concealed carry. That basically what that says is if you're in a place where you're supposed to be, and you have any kind of a prudent reason for carrying a firearm, you've got an affirmative defense against the requirement to have a license for that. That's the way it should be. It's not true constitutional carry. You're still at some legal risk and some legal exposure there, but at least sets the clock back to where we were in 2004 in that regard, and that's a positive thing.
And that's the way it was for years and years and years.
You got it.
And years.
And we had to mess with it.
Yeah.
Another super big issue. You'll be able to leave your firearm in your vehicle in a school safety zone. Now, school safety zone, by Ohio's definition, is the entire school property. So right now, unless you're in the process of dropping off a child, you can't even have a firearm in your vehicle. You can't get out of your vehicle on school property. There's no way to do it. Even if you put the firearm in your glove box or lock it up, disassemble it into 14 pieces, you're breaking the law and you're doing it at the felony level. This removes that, says store it safely in the vehicle. You can get out. You can go enjoy your school activity. You can pick up your child at the principal's office, do what you have to do, and do it legally. Also opens up carry in police stations and in airports and areas where the public has access without further restrictions. So you're not going to be able to walk into the courthouse where you would have to be scanned and just stroll right in, wave your license and tote a firearm in with you into your trial. No, that's not going to happen. But you can get in there in the non-secured areas. Same out at an airport. You know, you're going to pick somebody up. You're not going behind. You're not going through the TSA screening. You'll be good to go with this.
Generally, that's the ticket counter beyond.
Exactly.
Generally.
Carry at universities and colleges with permission. It basically changes their status to be like other private employers. Adds liability protection for them as well. And it's a one-sided liability protection. It's not like the liability protection for other small businesses who are protected whether they post or if they choose not to post. Either side, they get protection. Well, the universities and colleges with this bill will only get the liability protection if they choose to allow carry. And it basically says they won't be held liable for the action of anyone with a license on their property. And that's sweet. A big one changes the default status of houses of worship, daycare centers, airplanes, and that's like general aviation, little small Cessnas, that kind of thing, and government buildings to carry permitted. Right now, all of those places default to no carry. Doesn't mean that your favorite church or your favorite daycare couldn't post a sign, but they're going to have to actively do that and say, you can't carry here. And that at least opens up the opportunity for discussion. Well, why can't we? What is it that you're afraid of?
Right.
Taking away that default block, that default CPZ status, it's a big ticket item, and we'd love to see it. This bill was introduced in July. It's not yet assigned to a committee. Some folks think it's a little too strong, that it's not going to see the light of day. We think that if you speak up and you speak your mind and you speak it loudly enough, that it's going to make it there. So we ask you to call and ask your representative to co-sponsor this bill. We're going to jump to one that we'd like to see not pass. And it's a real... It's a sticky wicket for some, but it's House Bill 31. I've characterized this as an anti-gun safe storage bill. And you'll have a lot of folks that are big fans of safe storage. And they'll say, you know, you should never have a firearm out where a child could get to it. You should always keep your firearms unloaded when you're not using them. You should keep them locked in a safe. And, you know, for some folks, those are good rules. This is a camel's nose bill. This is the nose of the camel under your tent. It's allowing the government to regulate what doesn't need to be regulated. And here's the end goal. Remember all the legal cases we've just had in Washington, D.C.? Well, yes. What was Washington, D.C.'s requirement before those legal cases?
Disassembled in inoperable condition.
In a safe.
So you had to take it out of the safe, assemble your shotgun, because that was the only thing I think that you could have.
Right, no handguns.
No handgun. Load it, and then deploy it.
I'm sure that most folks breaking into your house would be happy to pause and wait for that, don't you think, Andy? I mean, don't you think they just stand back and say, you know, are you sure two shells would be enough? Yeah. Take the time to load six.
That's common sense.
Yes, that's common sense. This is common sense gun legislation, and that's why we oppose it. Now, this was introduced in February, and it probably doesn't have a whole lot of chance of success. But just don't let them get away with twisting the words on it. It's assigned to the state and local government committee. And if you can call, you don't want to talk to the sponsors on this bill. You're wasting your time. But if you can call the chair of that committee and mention that you don't even want it to be considered in committee, that you're, you know, virulently opposed to this bill, and if you can articulate why you're opposed to it. And, folks, we're not opposed to safety.
Absolutely not.
Safety is so important, and there's a time where, you know, having loaded firearms around is a wretchedly unsafe practice. But we have personal responsibility, and we need to exercise that personal responsibility to do what is best in our individual circumstances, do the right thing without being told to do it, and do the right thing without them being allowed to add that nose under the tent, which they can then leverage in the future. And for those of you who don't know how that works, it's basically get the hook in there that says it's okay for us to tell you to do this.
Right.
Once it's okay for us to tell you to do something,
it's easy for the next step.
What we tell you to do, right, is just always subject to the next debate.
And you think about it, you get a police officer who comes into your house, and it's you may have something going on down the street. He walks in your house, and he sees a shotgun propped up in the corner. It's not stored, according to the safe storage law, that might happen.
What if you happen to be less than economically advantaged?
Right.
What if all you can afford is that 25 caliber Raven with a cardboard box and the 6 rounds of ammo that came with it? Are we to say that because you can't afford a $700 safe and because you live in a neighborhood where it's kind of crazy not to keep your firearm loaded, that you're an unsafe person? No, we're not going to say that, and we're not going to let our legislators say that. We're going to head to break here at this point, and when we come back, we're going to be checking in with John Johnston. John just couldn't be away for an entire show, so he's going to be calling in, and we're going to be discussing his recent training session. We're going to talk about House Bill 191, and we're going to take your phone calls. You're listening to Ballistic Radio on 55 KRC, the talk station.
Ryan Thomas Monday in the Morning Show. It is Spleen Vent Monday. Tune in 7:05, find out what's gotten under my dad's skin. We'll do that together at 7:05. 55 KRC, the talk station.
Welcome back to Ballistic Radio on 55 KRC, the talk station, brought to you by Kyle's Gun Shop in Finneytown. As always, you can reach us at 513-749-5500 or at 800-823-8255 if you're out of the immediate area. And, folks, we will take your phone calls. We've got our fearless host with the most, John Johnston, on the line. And John is never out of the studio. John's biting his nails right now, but we're going to put him on and let him have a chat with us. John, are you there?
I am, Jim. How are you doing?
Hey, we're doing great. Andy is really carrying the show tonight, so it's I'm glad to have him in the hot seat.
I didn't even know Andy knew how to talk.
There's always the third guy in here. It's, has the gift for gab. It's kind of hard to get it in like, edgewise.
It's because I smell bad, isn't it? I smell bad, and he doesn't want to say anything. So
it's those feet. It's the feet.
We've heard it. It's actually the cereal, John. But, hey, where are you, and what have you been up to?
Well, right now I am on I-40 eastbound, driving back from Memphis, Tennessee. I was at the Rangemaster instructor development course.
Well, cool. How'd that work out?
No, I didn't fail. I actually was fourth overall out of 20.
Sweet.
And,
excellent.
Well, I kind of beat myself on that, but it was interesting just because the difference between where I ended up and where the top shooter was 2 points.
Wow.
Yeah, which was, it was a great class. Everyone, awesome people. Tom and Lynn Givens, I cannot recommend them enough as far as if you are anywhere near Memphis, you owe it to yourself to go down to Rangemaster or visit one of their traveling road shows that they do. It was just really, really good class. So,
and my brother recently relocated to Memphis. I'm going to have to steer him in that direction.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with. And they actually, I had Tom Givens on the show, and his claim to fame is he's had the most documented student-involved shootings of any instructor that I'm aware of in the U.S. They actually just had their 63rd shooting. Now they were at 62. and the score is now 61 wins, 0 losses, and 2 forfeitures. The 2 forfeitures did not have their guns on them and were subsequently murdered on their wallets.
It's hard to defend yourself with a firearm when it's at home and locked up in the safe. Hey, did you learn anything? Did you learn anything new?
Yeah, actually, a lot of stuff. It's interesting. I've been shooting at this point 25 years, and pretty much, I'm sure anyone that takes the time to listen to this show has probably been involved in the firearms scene for a little while, and there's this nasty tendency that, especially for adult males, well, I know what I'm doing. No, you don't. You're doing something wrong. There's always something to improve on. And for those that keep up on the Facebook page, I've actually been posting pictures of my targets from the different range qualifications that they do. They shoot the FBI qualification, the same one that their agents and instructors have to pass, and then they do their own version of it which is much more stringent and much more difficult. So I ran that on Friday and then Saturday and then today for score, and just watching my groups tighten up as the weekend progressed was really interesting, just as I put different habits into practice.
And that's sweet, because a lot of times you'll see the groups spread out over time with as fatigue sets in on a long weekend like that.
No, I certainly was tired. It was, you know, 8-9 hour day, and then there's homework each night. So because it wasn't a shooting class per se. Shooting was involved, but it was an instructor's class. So you're learning how to teach this method to people. Spent half the weekend coaching. We were partnered up with different people and then switched partners throughout the day. It was, like I said, really good class. They call for 1,000 rounds. I think I probably went through about 800 to 850 just because I didn't have to reshoot any of the tests. No one did. Everyone passed everything on the first time, which is actually pretty rare. The course is difficult enough that generally they have 4 or 5 students fail, and they don't get their certificate, and, you know, tough for them. So, but,
well, to be in a class that's that evenly matched probably just raises the level of instruction, too. So, I mean, when everybody's operating at the same speed like that.
Oh, yeah, it was just great. I mean, great bunch of people, and the staff there is just awesome. So, but it was a really good time. I'm looking forward to coming back to Cincinnati, though, just because, and I'm sure you'll tell everyone at the end of the show, we got a really cool guest coming in next weekend.
That, we do, and we I do. Know you're looking forward to it, and we are as well. I think I think we're going to roll back to legislative discussion, if that's okay with you. And
sure.
We'll dive. I think we're going to have to pick your brains in a little more detail on the Tom Givens when you're back in studio, and we can just hash it out and go over the finer points.
Hey, Jim, you know how I like to hear my own voice, so I get going. And
I was
going
to tell you to turn the radio down, but, you know, we let it slide. So, thank you, John. We will look forward to being in studio with you next week.
Hey, I appreciate it. I look forward to listening to the podcast and catching all the mean things you say about me when I'm not listening over the phone.
Sweet. We'll try and sneak in a few more. We'll talk to you later.
Hey, be safe. You guys have a good night. Thanks for covering for me.
You
no problem.
It. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Folks, we're back to live coverage here. We thank John for calling in. We're going to dive right into it. We've got a couple more bills to cover here before we crack into a commercial break. One of the key ones here is HB 191, or House Bill 191, and we just support this with no limitation. I mean, go for this one. This one repeals a piece of total nonsense in Ohio law. As the law currently stands today, if you insert a magazine that can hold more than 30 rounds into a rifle or pistol or shotgun, that firearm suddenly meets the statutory definition of an automatic firearm. Funny, Andy, it's never worked that way for me. If I put a drum into my AK, it still only shoots one round per pull of the trigger. Does it work for you?
Pretty much that way.
Wow. And yet the law says otherwise. The law says you put that magazine in there. And the law actually says stupid things, like if you even design a firearm capable of accepting one.
Yes.
I mean, it's ridiculous. If they ever enforced it as written, we'd be in deep trouble. But even the way it's enforced now is just ridiculous, and we'd love to see that go away. This is a simple bill, HB 191. It just gets rid of that little piece of text in the law and says, you know, hey, we can read. Let's just make the law read the way it should. Bada bang.
That's it.
Enthusiastically support it. It was introduced in June, assigned to the Transportation, Public Safety, and Homeland Security Committee. Call your representative. Call the chair of the committee. Tell them you want this to happen. House Bill 234, short and sweet. We want it. Support it. Go for it. Hunting use of firearm suppressors. Now, the U.S. is way behind other countries in this regard, and Ohio is behind other states. But, folks, this is a public health issue. You only get one set of ears per lifetime, and there's no way to get the hearing back once you lose it. Now, a lot of your hunting buddies will tell you they always shoot with a rifle, they shoot with a shotgun outside, and they never have any problems with hearing. Mm-hmm. And then they ask you, what? Yeah. You lose your hearing, it's gone. A suppressor is not like what James Bond uses, where he puts it on his pistol and suddenly it's silent. It makes a little pew, pew noise. No. It still is loud as anything, but it takes that sound pressure down to a level where the risk of damage is not there. I mean, it lowers it considerably. House Bill 234, call your representative, ask him to co-sponsor this bill. It was introduced on July 17th and hasn't been assigned to a committee yet. We're going to go to break now. When we come back, we'll briefly discuss a few other bills and take more of your phone calls. Right now, you're listening to Ballistic Radio on 55KRC, the talk station.
Glenn Beck.
This will blow your mind.
Tomorrow at 9:06 on 55KRC, the talk station.
Welcome back to Ballistic Radio on 55KRC, the talk station, brought to you by Kyle's Gun Shop in Finneytown. You can reach us at 513-749-5500 or at 800-823-8255 if you're out of the immediate area. We'll try to fit in your questions and comments in when we can. We're going to dive into House Bill 210, and this one is, I was just telling my co-host Andy, this is an emotional issue. This is one that I could talk about for a while. What this is a requirement for is to force law enforcement to sell any firearms that they seize, and firearms that they would normally send off to a smelting operation, forces them to sell them instead to licensed dealers. Now, you'd think, well, that just makes sense in so many ways, but to an anti-gun politician, it makes no sense. You know, got to get those guns off the street.
Every gun gone is a better for the disposal.
It's about the children, Andy.
Yes.
It's always about the children.
That old shotgun of grandpa's is just waiting to kill.
You know, I sometimes watch my ARs just to see, because I'm pretty certain I've seen one of them start slipping towards the door, and it loaded itself. It was on its way out, and it was going to be on the street. I've kind of wondered, I'd like a map maybe to these streets someday where you can drive and there are guns on them, you know, because that would be cool. Can you just pick up what you want?
Pretty much.
I like it. You know, but we're never going to fight that with logic other than the logic that exists right now. That's that the free money days are gone, even at all levels of government, especially down at the county and city levels. Those folks are fighting for dollars. This should be an easy sell. Look, you can pay somebody to melt your guns into pieces of slag, or you can sell them to a dealer and get green cash to fund your programs.
Wouldn't you rather the new cruiser that your new police officer has on the street be paid for without tax dollars? Wouldn't that be great?
Oh, that'd be sweet. You know, and this doesn't in any way affect return of firearms to their rightful owners. It doesn't affect stolen firearms that should be gotten back. Or, you know, if you're arrested and your firearm is secured for a while, that still comes back to you. We're not talking about that. We're talking about firearms used in crime after they're done with their evidentiary value and when they would normally be melted down. House Bill 210 has been assigned to the Transportation, Public Safety, and Homeland Security Committee. Give them a call. Tell them you want it. Here's a poison pill bill, if I've ever heard one. House Bill 222. It requires that firearm sellers of all kinds, licensed and unlicensed, so Joe Blow selling a pistol to his brother, has to provide information about the potential injuries that can be caused by the use of firearms. You've got to be kidding me. So you've got this pamphlet that you've got to hand out that says, you know, if you shoot someone, they'll die. If you shoot someone, they may be wounded. If you shoot someone, they may not be hurt at all. If you shoot yourself, you may die. If you shoot yourself, you may be wounded. I mean, come on. It's probably going to be 100 pages long. It's going to burn up your printer to prepare. And this is an example of the kind of law that Joe Blow on the street isn't going to know even exists. You want to guess the penalty on this one, Andy?
It's pretty substantial, I guess.
A first-degree felony. In other words, you know, you screw up and you sell a firearm without including this cheesy pamphlet, you lose your firearms rights for life. Yeah, that's fair. House Bill 222, we emphatically oppose it. It was introduced in June and it was assigned to the State and Local Government Committee. Call the chair. Don't bother calling the sponsors. Call your own representative. Tell them, hey, don't let this thing see the light of day. House Bill 160 really deals with the surrender of firearms under protection orders. Now, we oppose this bill, even though it sounds on the surface like it's a good thing, but it goes above and beyond, much broader than federal law, which is already quite adequate. It says if there's a domestic violence situation or somebody's, you know, where an order of protection specifically expresses concerns about stalking or physical safety, those firearms are already supposed to be relocated or taken to a safe, secure storage out of the hands of the person who's had the order of protection filed against them. Well, this bill goes further and says they have to be stored with a law enforcement agency or with a dealer, and the law enforcement agency can bill you per day for storage of those firearms, and there's no guarantee of what kind of condition they would ever be returned to you in them. Now, the big one in this, and this is always, you know, some animals are more equal than others, is that there are exceptions for police officers. We know that police officers never misbehave in domestic situations. So they don't have to worry about surrendering firearms if an order of protection is filed against them under this bill. We believe in equal rights and equal equal protection under the law, and House Bill 160 doesn't provide for that. We oppose it. It was introduced in May and assigned to the Judiciary Committee. They need to hear from you. Senate Bill 36, one of the few in the Senate this year, it limits the ability of a law enforcement officer to seize a firearm from a law-abiding citizen. Now, we support this bill. The circumstances right now, there really isn't enabling legislation for most of the firearm seizures that take place. Side of the road, officer safety is cited. Well,
that's pretty broad.
Oh, that's about as broad as you can get. And the law says that they have to return a firearm seized in a certain state and so on and so forth. But it never really lines out the conditions under which that firearm could have been seized in the first place. This bill does. It limits it. It restricts them from just coming up willy-nilly with some idea that they need to have your firearm and you don't.
It gives it some specificity.
I like that. The law needs to be specific. It also restricts officers very specifically from enforcing any kind of firearms registration scheme. And we have some jurisdictions that are still messing around with that and trying to enforce a local scheme, even though it's prohibited at the state level.
This is introduced mostly up north.
up north? Oh, I'm shocked. Introduced in February and assigned to the Judiciary Committee. It needs co-sponsors. Call your representatives. Call your senator, that is, and tell him get on board with Senate Bill 36. Senate Bill 18, introduced in February. No action since. It was assigned to the Criminal Justice Committee. We're happy. We happily oppose this. It was a reactionary assault weapons ban. This is not likely to be an issue. It's probably going to die, but we want to make sure that it goes all the way out and it doesn't wind up being renamed and used as a vehicle for something else nasty.
And that's always the problem. It's always a lot of these anti-bills that we talk about we're opposed to, they're just a mechanism to get the foot in the door in other ways. And any of these bills that we're talking about tonight, there's also a few more that we didn't get to tonight. Go on to OFC's wiki legislation website. They're all listed there. There's links to the actual bills themselves. You can get on there. You can read the bills. And when you do read the bills, you'll look. You'll see some things are struck out. That's language that will no longer be in the bill. Then there's anything that's underlined would be a change in the bill. So it's pretty easy to read that bill and understand how it's changed. And you can also just look up the RRC code and look at the differences between the bill if you want to. But it's a great resource to get on there and look at. And I suggest to everybody do it religiously every once in a while, just so you're up on what you need to be aware of as a gun owner.
Right. The last thing we want you to do is making phone calls to your representatives and just be uninformed and making stupid comments. All right, we're done for this week. Next Sunday, John Johnston will be back, our host with the most, and he'll have a very special guest. We'll all be talking with Chris Costa of Costa Ludus about his training methodology. Chris, if you don't know, is formerly with Magpul Dynamics. We're going to talk with him about his training methodology, his techniques, and most importantly, his epic beards. Now, as a man who's cleanly shaven at the moment, you know, I'm interested in hearing about this. So be sure to tune in and, most importantly, join in at 7 o'clock next week. Check out our website at ballisticradio.com. Like our Facebook page at facebook.com/ballisticradio. As always, thanks for listening. Have a safe and productive week.